Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. Glad you could join us here. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have Susan Bradford on. And we're going to be talking about election fraud. But before we do, just want to mention to you that I keep saying you're going to need storable food at some point. And more things are happening with the food supply chain. And some of it is downright deliberate, and we've discussed this, we've done shows on it, and we're still saying, hey, we're here, but when hyperinflation hits, the game is over. Inflation is here already, folks. We're holding the line on the prices, but I'm just going to be really honest with you. Hyperinflation is around the corner. If they pass anything like they want to with trillions of dollars of more debt coming, there's no way the dollar will withstand that. And you also need to be thinking about the bank, but that's another issue for another time. So, well, how do you get your storable food? Well, you go to preparewithdave.com, and everything is there. They'll tell you about the 25-year shelf life, restaurant quality. You'll see all the diversity in the food by the pictures they have. And they're also the $100 special on the 3-month emergency kit. But that just means you can bug out with it. You should order that particular item because you'll preserve your sale all the way through. So, this is a simple choice. Preparewithdave.com. I hope you do it. People say, how much do I need, Dave? Well, I don't know. I'm not the expert. FEMA and DHS are on record as saying 6 months. Bob Griswold, resident expert on prepping, he says 2 years in seeds. And Daisy Luther is right there with him saying the same thing. So we hope you take advantage of this because let's put it this way, once trouble starts with the food supply in earnest, and you're going to find you're without, you're going to have to go to the Biden administration for help. Is that what you want to do? Do you trust them to meet your food needs? Yeah, I think we know the answer to that. Preparewithdave.com. Anyway, Susan's been on with us before. We've discussed a variety of topics. And today we're going to get into one of my favorite topics because I'm just going to be really honest. I'm ready to drop bombshells on Arizona. Now, that's a figurative statement, please. Karen Fan, Arizona State Senate President, do not send the FBI after me, okay? That was a figurative statement. But let's put it this way. We've disseminated our findings, because in this business, you better have a dead man switch. And I'm going to be dropping literal bombshells on the political careers of some of these people. And there are massive games being played. And so what we're going to do with Susan today is we're going to talk about the 2020 election with some stuff that I was not aware of with regard to the voter fraud. I tell you, if you ask me about Maricopa County, I think I can tell you every way it was done in terms of theft and then the cover-up. But in the 2020 presidential election across the nation, I think Susan's going to open her eyes as to some of the things that happened. Susan, welcome to the show, and we're in my wheelhouse here. This is one of my favorite topics, and I'll be honest with you, there is no America with what's going on, and I'm going to say this for the record, too. Since Glenn Youngkin has now been declared to be the winner, and you got McAuliffe say, oh, but wait, we have the ballots. If this gets overturned, you won't see Antifa in the streets. I think you're going to see Americans in the streets.
I agree with that. Well, thank you so much for having me here and inviting me back again, Dave. I really appreciate it. I do know that McAuliffe is contesting the election, but we'll see what happens. I think you said that you anticipated martial law.
I anticipate something. I'll tell you what I anticipate. And I don't know if so much martial law, it could end up being that. But I'll tell you, initially, we saw how the left responded to the impending election in 2020 with Antifa being basically given carte blanche to do whatever they wanted to do. As Garland said, if you blow up a federal building and it's after 5 p.m., that's only a protest. No big deal. Mm-hmm. I expect to see these kinds of behaviors in earnest. I think McAuliffe's defeat was much greater than what's being publicized now, which is about 2.5-3% that Youngkin supposedly won by. So, you know, I'm just going to say this from my gut. I think the Democrats, because of the ballot regulations now and because of the phony COVID enhancements where you can take forever and a day to turn things in, the ballot harvesting, all that nonsense, I don't think there's an election they can't potentially steal.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And then you have Obama rolling out his community organizers who will create havoc to ensure that they get what they want.
Yeah, OFS, if I remember right. Is that right? They're his little army of thugs.
Correct. Well, getting back to the story at hand, I'm here today to talk about the 2020 election fraud. And what was very alarming to me when I began to look into this is that I saw that both the Republicans and Democrats were the establishment Republican and Democrats were working together against Trump, playing both sides against the middle to keep the globalist agenda on track and to derail nationalism. And I think that agenda is becoming more clear as the days go on. So the problem really started from the very beginning, because there were a lot of holdovers from the Obama administration brought into Trump's administration, one of whom he never should have trusted and who he probably trusted the most. And this was somebody who was brought to him and was by Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, who lobbied aggressively for their father to bring him on as national security advisor. And General Michael Flynn, who I'm talking about, had business dealings with Kushner and Ivanka in Turkey. And so here in Turkey, you see the two sides playing against the middle. You have, on the one hand, you have neoconservatives who are and Zionists who are promoting strikes against Iran, who are playing up the radical Islam agenda, to kind of pit Muslims against Judeo-Christianity. And on the other side, you have the Zionists working on behalf of a repressive Turkish government that is funneling money into Iran in violation of American sanctions. So these neocons, and I'm including among them Rudy Giuliani, Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, Michael Flynn, among others, were representing the Turkish interests, the repressive Turkish government, even against dissidents who were promoting a more moderate approach to Islam. They represented the state banks that were funneling the money, executives, even the leaders, and what has been characterized as one of the largest money laundering schemes ever. And we can ask, why would Zionists support Turkey? And the answer is very simple. I mean, it might not be obvious on the surface, but it's very simple. And that is that the Rothschilds control the Vatican. They also control Turkey. Turkey is their strategic partner. It is a land bridge connecting Europe and Asia. It is a key intelligence network that is a hub for Africa, Asia, Europe. And they have used Turkey, Rothschilds in the Vatican have used Turkey for centuries to weaponize the Muslims against Judeo-Christianity or Judeo-Christian Europe. So they will profess to be the greatest defenders of Judeo-Christianity, and then they will militarize Islam against Europe, and then in turn they're able to kind of pit two sides against each other for their own power and benefit. Flynn, unfortunately, has been very loyal to the Democrats, more loyal than he should have been, and he did not belong in a Trump administration. To give you a sense of this, he was a consultant for Francisco Partners, a private equity firm that raised money almost exclusively for the Democrats, including for the Biden presidential campaign and even for the Lincoln Project, which was a group of Republicans, allegedly, or RINOs, who had frustrated Trump throughout his administration, that had tried to sabotage and derail whatever he was attempting to do. And even more worrying is the fact that Francisco Partners is the umbrella organization for an organization called the NSO Group. And the NSO Group produces the Pegasus software. Pegasus software was highlighted by Edward Snowden because it was found there was a list that was found of 180 journalists who were targeted. It's Israeli spyware that has been used to target dissidents, including prime ministers, presidents, journalists, corporate executives, to either to compromise and in some cases eliminate them. So I think, for an administration that had campaigned on America first and for restoring power to the people, to have somebody like General Flynn within the administration who is working for a company that is, cracking down on dissidents on behalf of repressive governments, I found that very worrying. But in any event,
I'm going to stop you just for a second and ask you.
Sure.
How did you obtain all this information about Flynn's background and his association with Francisco and so forth?
Some of this reporting was actually, I think, the Huffington Post and the Sarasota Herald Tribune reported on it.
And Trump doesn't have allies that could read a newspaper and report to him you've made a mistake?
That is a very good question, and giving Trump the benefit of the doubt, as the days go on, it's increasingly harder to do so. But giving him the benefit of the doubt, I would think that he wanted to protect his daughter and his son-in-law.
Well,
because they were involved with him.
People that I know said that, I agree. Kushner and dear little daddy's girl were the death of his presidency. I want to just digress for a moment because this is important. Paul Preston had information, and I later was able to confirm a little bit of it through a DEA source. And Trump at one time was going to go to South America, and then they found out about a plot to assassinate him from the Shining Path. And I was able to confirm that that was a concern, and that was the central reason why they canceled the trip. The people behind the trip, Jared Kushner and Daddy's little girl.
Wow.
And that was my contribution to this story. As I called Paul back, I said, Paul, we got more than just an assassination. We got a coup d'etat within the family. And I said, they got associations with the Shining Path. And I said, a lot of it's through George Soros, because Jared Kushner had a large business debt to George Soros. I don't know if you have uncovered that yet or not.
I have read that.
Yeah. So I just wonder, how this all fits in. I think that Kushner and Daddy's little girl were agent provocateurs against Trump. And they're in this really weird religious sect. And I don't mean they're Jewish. What I'm saying is their go beyond just being Jewish into something that's very cultish, that really almost defies any religious label. Were you aware of that about these two?
I was aware that they were Zionists. I believe that Ivanka converted to Judaism, but I don't know much about her faith beyond that.
Yeah, the converting to Judaism was no concern to me at all. It's the private, I can't even think of how to describe what they believe, but it borders on Satanism, witchcraft. Mm-hmm. And there's ceremonies, for lack of a better term, like a seance. I wouldn't call it a seance, but I've had this described to me what this is all about, and it's just downright bizarre. It's kind of a combination between Haitian voodooism and outright witchcraft. That's how I would describe it, and I'm having a hard time putting words on it. But it was something that I've never encountered before, and I had to be educated on what it was. And Dr. Ted Brower has a radio show, and he's covered this. He had them dead to right on this. I mean, they are in left field in their own spiritual realm. That's what I'm saying. They are so divorced from Donald Trump himself.
And you don't think you don't think Donald Trump was aware of these practices?
Well, if you like being assassinated and want to look the other way, that's about the only way I could make any sense out of it. That's just, I don't see how he could not know. But obviously, at some level, he did not know.
Or maybe he didn't want to acknowledge what was right in front of his eyes.
I think there's some of that because it's your daughter. I would agree with that. And Jared Kushner is the ultimate smooth-talking man. But Trump had to know when he's running for election, George Soros was at every turn opposing him. And here his son-in-law is deeply in business bed with George Soros. I don't know how he did not know this.
Well, he definitely brought the swamp with him to Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting too that that Pegasus software was found on the phone of the fiance of Khashoggi, Jamal Khashoggi, you know, who was assassinated and dismembered.
Yeah, explain the software a little bit though, and link it into Khashoggi.
It's a sort of a tracking software, and apparently they were able to locate him. According to the reports that I've read, there was like a list of journalists, and some of them, including like a Mexican reporter, wound up assassinated, and they don't know whether, you know, the Pegasus software was on the phone of the Mexican reporter or not, because the phones tend not to be with the victim. Like they're recovered somehow. But they did find in the case of Khashoggi that the fiance did have the Pegasus software on her phone.
Hmm. Boy, that's really interesting. That is really interesting.
I don't want to read too much into him. It's so sinister. I mean, it's beyond what I could even, you know, contemplate, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't have any trouble believing things are true. I just need to be able to validate, you know, what it is I believe. What you're describing here is middle-of-the-road political terrorism. I mean, that's, and to me, I don't have a hard time believing it at all. That's, but I was unaware about the tracking software. I know you've mentioned it to me before, but I was unaware of that from my side of things. But it makes sense because they had to know where to find him. And they found him in what should have been a secure location, an embassy.
And I think the other aspect of it is that the information collected is intended to compromise the individual. So they're looking for compromising information that they can use to maybe blackmail or to somehow put that person under their control. And if that person proves uncontrollable, then, you know, they might be done away with. That's my understanding of it.
Yeah, well, I think that's definitely true. Do you think this is why Trump wasn't assassinated? Because they felt this is the way that they can get to him and destroy his presidency and keep him from being reelected?
I can tell you that Trump had many options available to him to overturn this election or to at least to get to the bottom of the fraud. He took none of them. So my impression was that his hands were tied for some reason. And I thought that maybe he was trying to protect his own family, or that he knew that the investigation would come right back to his own inner circle.
Well, very early in the morning, you know, after the election, like 1 a.m., he holds a press conference because in the swing states, many of them had stopped counting the votes, and he knew the ballots were coming in. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty clear about his insinuations there. If you're going to identify the problem on national TV, then you've already implicated whoever is involved. Why wouldn't you take action? See, to me, that is the mystifying thing. And I honestly expected before the end of that week, because the election's on a Tuesday, and I said, there's enough there that he can get this stopped right now, bring in the military, declare an emergency. He had already issued an order in 2018 that said if there's funny business in the election, I can step in and declare an emergency and stop it.
Correct.
Okay, I don't know why this wasn't done. I mean, I was sure he was going to do this by that Friday.
I think there are two reasons. One is that the story had already broken in Italy, and I think that they needed to cover up, and so they could profess to investigate election fraud while actually leading the public in a different direction. And I think also the Republicans had a different agenda. Like at the Heritage Foundation has for decades now been trying to pass legislation that would restrict ballots, and they were able to use the issue of the election fraud to kind of to push ahead legislation. So this issue has given them a lot of momentum, you know, for their own agenda to ensure that establishment Republicans get elected and that they can kind of keep out these more fringe candidates.
Yeah, very interesting. That is, because I'm kind of like nodding my head because I know on the other side of things, this is something that people don't talk about, but the information's easy to find. When you had the Democrats and like the ushering in of Ocasio-Cortez, and she's a classic example, they want when the establishment, and I'm talking about the deep state, wanted to further radicalize the Democratic Party, they did so at the primary level against more centrist Democrats by bringing in nutcases like Omar and the rest of the squad, and they did so in the primary. And the
Correct.
Sponsors of this, I'm sure you've come across this, were ex-Bernie Sanders campaign staffers.
And I'm not surprised.
They were the ones who were running things on this. And then you're saying the same thing on the other side with the Republicans. Keep the establishment Republicans in, and that would be done at the primary level before
Correct.
You get to the general election. To me, when you've got essentially the same strategy in both parties, that means there's a central force controlling both parties. That's what it tells me. What do you think?
Yes, and I think, again, you're looking at, like Patrick Byrne, the former CEO of Overstock.com, he said that the election was being manipulated by the people above the FBI. He called them the Men in Black, and that would be the global intelligence networks, which are ultimately controlled by the Vatican and the Rothschilds. So I think they have a strategy for both sides, that they want to be able to control the parties and ensure that you know, these ups, these candidates, you know, or these kind of more marginal candidates who would maybe favor nationalism or serve the people, you know, they don't win in the at the primary level. To ensure they ultimately do not get elected.
So if you wanted to have an anti-incumbency plan and you were conservative, you would really have to focus on Republican primaries, wouldn't you?
You would, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. And that's what I've been saying on my radio show multiple times. I'm of the opinion, listen, I've got a pretty good congressman in Paul Gosar. He does a lot of things that I agree with, and he's been pretty bold and outspoken. Lately, he's been a little on the quiet side, and I don't know if he's biding his time because he's running for re-election next year, and I think he's probably thinking, how am I going to deal with it? So I think he's in strategy planning, and that's why he's quiet. But most of these people in office, here's what I see. They scream bloody murder. The Democrats are doing this, the Democrats are doing that. They go on Fox News and they look like little heroes, but they never talk about election fraud. That's a red flag for me, and because that tells me that they are knowingly profiting from a corrupt system, and they know they're not going to get touched. Because if they thought they're going to get unelected, wouldn't you go on Fox News and talk about election fraud?
You would, but I guess you wouldn't if that election fraud actually benefited you in some way.
That's my point. That's exactly my point. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to take this down to the level I understand here in Arizona, and it supports exactly what you've been saying. We're going to take this state senator named Sonny Borelli, and yeah, Sonny, I hear you're unhappy with me. Guess what? I'm your boss. So shut up and sit down. And in June, people were calling him my clone. Not Dave Hodges saying this. This was people that were watching his YouTube videos. He was using some of my verbiage. Like I was saying for quite a while that when they had the fake ballots, the duplicate ballots without the originals that by law have to be thrown out, and they all belong to Biden in terms of who they voted for. And then you had the voter registration hack that was concealed from the public until late January after the election. I mean, absolutely concealed, not even admitted to. And this is how they got the names. And I said this exact quote. I said, this is how they got people that lived at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk in the vacant lot next door. And I said, that's how they got these names on these fake ballots. And I said, this is one of the ways they stole the election. And from three insiders who had direct supervisory contact with these kinds of ballots, I added up about 20,000 votes. I think it could have been 150,000 in Maricopa County. I'm giving you a low end what I can verify, but I think it was far higher than that. And Sonny Borelli was imitating what I was saying, the verbiage. Okay, now this is in June, and then I'd been saying this in April and May, and then we get into August. He has a meeting with a bunch of other establishment people in state government up in northern Arizona, and he says it's not criminal. Well, the hell it's not. I just told you what the crime was, and then he says it's civil. And we just need to make sure it doesn't happen the next time. Okay, now they conclude that Biden won the election from the fraudit, and this is before they ever were able to obtain the court-ordered evidence from the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors that would have proven collusion in so many different ways. They decided the case without the evidence, and now that it's over, he's back to sounding like me again.
Interesting.
Do you see my point on this? It parallels some of what you've been saying here on the national level.
Yes, and I think that was the whole point of the fraud, as you've described it. They had no intention of overturning the election. They were just trying to, as you said, to cover up and to make sure that we want to make sure that this doesn't happen again. That we won't have any fraud, but this time it happened, we'll kind of turn the other way and let's move on.
Well, I just dropped my first bombshell here on the radio that's coming. There's some people in northern Arizona trying to put me and Sonny and some other rep on the stage together. They won't show up. I guarantee they won't show up. I was told there was a Zoom call with certain reps in violation of open meetings law, and I was the second item of discussion. And I've now heard it twice. I heard it right away when it happened, and I've had someone else come forward and say, yeah, they know about this. They know what I got. And the thing is they're profiting from a corrupt system. And here, Karen Fan, she's the Arizona State President. And she had the... Well, I know the story. I'm choosing my words here, because I could reveal something that I don't want to put someone in jeopardy. But let's put it this way. I have two people that told me that they basically blackmailed Karen Fan into doing the audit as the Arizona State President. Okay, and the whole time, she said repeatedly, we're not going to overturn the election. We're just looking into what could have gone wrong so it doesn't happen again. I'm thinking, I can't repeat the word I used to describe her. And I said, okay, so in other words, Karen, in your system of justice, you can break into my house and steal my jewelry and get caught and get convicted, and you get to keep my jewelry. That's what you're saying is okay with you. And I was saying the whole time through, Karen Fan was the head of the fraud. And when you look at Sonny Borelli's actions, do you see how they all tie together? And this is what I'm seeing at the national level, too.
Yes, in fact, I think she rubber stamped the audit in Arizona and said she didn't find any fraud and thought it was done perfectly well and according to the rules, and it wasn't according to those who are close to it.
I'll give you one more thing here with Arizona, and this will expose who she is. At the election centers, the election officials never had the election codes. And this is what triggered the audit people to attack me through my sources like Paul Preston, Sarah Westall, and several others. I published an article on May the 12th. I said, stop telling the supervisors to surrender the election codes for the machines. Why, Dave? Well, because they never had them. They don't have them. How do you know? I had election officials tell me they never had them. And there were private rooms set up in election centers for Dominion, and they had their little laptops, and they had their Wi-Fi, and you can read between the lines on that, but they never had the codes. And as soon as I said this, people from within the audit started to attack me with my sources that were picking up my articles. Personal attack. And they never once, and this is what Sarah said to me, she said, Dave, they never really refuted what you accused them of doing. We'll go to the national level now, and this goes back to your point about establishment Republicans. So you see what I'm saying? I brought you into Arizona because I wanted you to see that this is a blanket strategy that's being employed at every level of government to steal elections. And we'll go back to what I brought up here. Okay, so choose a Republican. Let's go on the air and let's just say how terrible the Democrats are, but we're not allowed to talk about election fraud. And I got to tell you, too, another thing happened the other day. Newt Gingrich was on, and I kind of think Newt Gingrich is on the right side of things. They asked him, what will happen if Youngkin wins? Oh, there'll be earthquakes through the Democratic Party. What happens if it's close? He said, well, Youngkin better hope it's not close because the Democrats will steal it. They went to break immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was on the year before and he talked about George Soros being illegally involved in the election, and that Faulkner woman, and she's on the mornings in Fox, she cut him off.
She cut the mic. I saw that.
Yeah.
So
when you say benefiting from a corrupt system, this is why I have an anti-incumbent strategy. They all need to go. All of them. And by the way, let me put a little cherry on top here since we brought this up, and I hope you don't mind me going off on this because it's validating what you're saying. But let's just take Karen Fan. First of all, I'm not even going to repeat the charges that I get from qualified people. I mean, highly qualified people within her own hometown. The things they say about her criminality are just unbelievable. And I'm kind of waiting for them to come out publicly because they have the firsthand knowledge. I don't. But I tell you what I did find with her. There's a company called Fan Construction that her brother owns, and she claims it on her declaration statement when she ran for office the first time. In other words, she derives money from this. And Fan Construction gets all the state highway contracts, you know, median development, so forth and so on. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. She claimed this as income. I don't care if she owns it or not. It doesn't matter. She claimed it as income, and she's in a position to vote on her own profits. I said, that is how you can get leveraged, and that is how you can fight against having an honest audit. And I said, I don't know if she's compromised, but she has the appearance of being compromised. Now, let me tell you what's happened. She came out 3 weeks ago, and she publicly filed paperwork with the state government that she is not taking any more income from Fan Construction. And now she is saying, I'm not running again, and I'm resigning my position next year.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
They're never convicted.
She got her hand caught in the cookie jar. And I'll tell you this, I wasn't after her to leave office. I had, you know, to me, she's a secondary player for where I was going with all this. She was just the director of a corrupt audit. And she was doing what she was told. I was going after people more behind the scenes, like our governor and like our board of supervisors. That's where I was focusing my attention. I did not pressure her to leave. I didn't go to public meetings in her district and say, she's got to go and you got to get rid of her. That pressure is coming from someone besides me. And that tells me there's something bigger that's going to come out that I don't even know about.
That's interesting. And I think you might end up uncovering a few of those today.
Well, So here's what we did, and I'm sorry for digressing, but what I wanted people to see that follow me regularly on this is that what you just hit on about establishment Republicans and Democrats playing the same game for the same reasons, I've uncovered on a micro level here in Arizona that fits the exact pattern of what you're talking about, and this is why I'm anti-incumbent in the next election.
I think Trump tried to, he had some type of election integrity commission that was established after voting irregularities were found in California. And at that point, Republicans controlled the commission, and they didn't want to address the California issue. Rather, they wanted voter data information from all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to use that occasion to see how they could ensure that their candidates secured elections. They weren't looking at election fraud, but they were looking at how they could win, like how they could kind of rig the system to win.
I think you're exactly right. They don't even have to even take bribes. They just have to know, I'm in the system. I'm probably going to be okay if I just play along. Do you agree with that?
I do. Like, if I play the game, the powers that be will ensure that I get elected.
Boy.
Usually they control both candidates, like on the right and the left.
Hmm. Well, I think, I think we're saying the same thing, coming to this down two different paths. And by the way, we have a partner in crime, and his name is Paul Preston. he's finding very similar patterns in California. In fact, it's his work, and we share a mutual source as well, too, that was very high-level law enforcement who can access election records that you and I can't. And these two people led me to say to look at the correct things. And some of the correct things you're mentioning right here with establishment Republicans. And this is why I say Fox News is controlled opposition. They bring the people on to inflame the public, but they only let them go so far.
That's... I think they waste too much time attacking Democrats when they should be forging solutions, you know, to the problems. It just becomes like a noise, like divide and conquer.
Yeah, I think they've miscalculated too. And let me tell you what I mean. When I started finding out about Loudoun County in April, it was 6 months ago now, and I started watching some of these videos coming out with their school board members, I said, I'm not sure who's behind critical race theory, and I did not know. I know now exactly who's behind it and who's benefiting, but at that time I did not know, and I said, watch out. I said, the suburban moms in Loudoun County and really across the country voted against Trump. They didn't like him. They didn't want him. They saw him as being a pig, and that's how they would describe him. And now they've awakened a monster that's going to turn on the hand that they supported. And I said, they are parents before they are Democrats. And I said, this is going to turn politics in this country if they keep this up. And I made that prediction in April, and just look what happened with the Virginia election.
I think Terry McAuliffe put his foot in his mouth when he said we have to purge the white teachers in the interest of diversity.
I know. What's he going to do? Execute 30% of white teachers? Is he just going to basically fire them without cause? I mean, first of all, half the teachers don't last 5 years, but the ones that do stay 40 years.
True.
So what are you going to do? You're going to fire half those people based on race? What the hell kind of claim was that?
And there was definitely a lot of pushback.
Yeah, but see, it's the same mentality. That comment about messing with the balance of teachers based on race, that just is one straw on top of the camel's back. The real issue was you're making sexual perverts out of our kids talking about things that men are even embarrassed to talk about in close company. And then you turn around and teach everyone to be a racist to impressionable kids. And the parents are saying, not with my kid. And then you have McAuliffe coming out with his ridiculous, well, the problem is racist white teachers. We need to bring in more non-white teachers. And I think that was just fuel to the fire, but I think what really got him unelected was not so much that comment. It was the one where he said, basically, parents, shut up, sit down. You don't have the right to say what goes on with your kids in school. That's what got him unelected.
Yeah. There's no way that the parent would allow a teacher to, you know, come between themselves and their own parenting.
Well, I agree with that. And I said this was going to wake up, you know, the soccer moms. And it did, in a big way. And I want to get your reaction to this, too. I forget her last name. Asara was her first name. Really articulate lady who's been at the forefront of speaking for parents. And she's no more than a parent, but she's got an audience on Fox News now. And she does a tremendous job organizing parents against this insanity. And they came out yesterday with, it's all white supremacists. They won because Virginia is going back to Jim Crow and blah, blah, blah. And I saw her interviewed. I did not know this about her. She says, I'm a Muslim. I'm a Muslim, and they're calling me a white supremacist. And then, of course, who was it? The lieutenant governor that was elected? She's black. Is she a white supremacist, too? So this is crazy.
It's almost like an act of desperation on their part.
Exactly.
They're
yeah.
Just, you know.
But anyway, let's go back to the national level. Now that we've kind of exposed to a large extent their MO, you said the magic words when you said establishment Republicans doing this because they're drinking from the same trough. So tell me, you said men in black above the FBI. Is that who you think is feeding both sides to do election fraud?
I think at the ultimate levels, you have the corporations which bankroll the campaigns, and then you have the corporations ultimately taking orders from the City of London, from the Privy Council, from these different groups that fall under the royal family, City of London, which is controlled by Rothschild, who also controls the Vatican. So I think they take their marching orders from Rothschild, and the corporations, are controlled through various incentives and carrot and stick measures, and also through interlocking boards of directors. And I think if the politicians play along, they can expect to receive a lot of campaign contributions. Potentially, they could also receive a very lucrative job in the private sector, once they leave public office.
Yeah, like Billy Tozen gave us Medicare Part B, ripped off seniors, and then got a $2 million job. I forget, it might have been with Pfizer when he left Congress.
It's all too common.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's you're right on the money. That's why when I talk about solutions, and I know this is horribly impractical, and I know you'll laugh at me, and it's okay if you do. I've been laughed at for saying this. But I said, we'll never have another free and fair election unless we make it a felony for corporations to donate to campaigns in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had publicly ran elections too, let's say you're candidate A and I'm candidate B and we're both given $50 million, then you don't need to worry about campaign financing. You're not allowed to raise money. You're publicly funded. You get to go on and spend your money any way you see fit to go on the air. We can't have a free election if corporations are going to be calling the shots.
No, we can't. And I think that the money is in it's billed or marketed as free speech. A corporation is demonstrating its free speech by giving money to a candidate, but then that free speech weighs more heavily on the ordinary citizen. So I really think, and I know it's not practical, but I mean, at least not yet. We have to revamp the whole system. But money definitely needs to get out of politics. And I don't know why we can't have free airtime for those candidates that are eligible, for them to be able to speak directly to the people at the local, state, or national level, to make their case, to be fully vetted. I don't know why campaigns have to be a billion-dollar venture. they shouldn't require as much money as they do. And of course, with the money, strings do come are attached, and those politicians are obligated to special interests and are unable to fulfill their duties to the people.
I know, but then we have the idea of the ballots too. That has very little to do with the corporations and everything to do with the DNC. And I don't know if the RNC does it or not, but the DNC does it effectively. And as a result of this, we'll never have free elections as long as we have the ballot situation the way it is too. And I just love how they say any kind of election integrity is racism. If I get pulled over by a police officer today, sir, can I see your ID? Okay, if I look like I'm 20 years old, can I see your ID before I serve you a beer? When I go to pick up tickets for a concert at Will Call, I have to show an ID. Well, we don't call those things racist, so why is it racist when you show an ID to vote?
That's a very good point, and I think you mentioned that the DNC and the RNC control ballots, and that we have to look towards that. But both of those agencies receive one of their functions is to raise money. So by raising money, they then become beholden to the corporations who then dictate the policy that they then have to, you know, impose upon their candidates.
Well, it is true. Yeah, you're exactly right. And there's a whole mechanism. You know, let me tell you, I'm going to make a stab at this, and I don't know if you know who these men in black are, but let me make a guess. One of them would be the Clinton Foundation and their associates, and Ukraine. And by the way, too, this is something here that I have covered and hasn't gotten traction, but I think it will. In 2015, Barack Obama sponsored Ukrainian prosecutors in the United States for seminars in basically the topic. And by the way, I listed the itinerary. This isn't rumor. I placed the hotels, who ran the seminar, and who was there. I had that information. And as a consequence, they were teaching how to avoid the problems of Burisma. And the lessons were how to prosecute people in Burisma without touching American politicians or their family members. And then from there, I linked it into gain-of-function research that they were funding from Ukraine, from the Clinton Foundation to Wuhan. And that's as far as I've taken it. But I also found on the other end, you know, sex trafficking, gun running, as sidebar activities, and also, guess what? Dominion voting machines. And so what I'm saying is, when you talk about men in black, do you have any idea if it goes in this direction or not?
Well, according to Patrick Byrne, Hillary Clinton was a puppet. You know, he said, we blackmailed her, you know, she has to do what we say, or we can, you know, he described the scenario as being like a Bunsen burner. If she doesn't do what we say, you know, we'll turn the Bunsen burner on high, and if she goes along, we'll turn it on low. So she's entirely controlled.
Okay, I think if they give money, who's controlling her? That's the question. Who's controlling her?
I think if the people above the FBI, I think you're looking at the permanent deep state. And I think Strzok was one of them.
Peter Strzok.
I know he was Peter Strzok and his lover. I think they were outed. I would say it's this establishment. I think you're looking at an intelligence network out of London. And I think it's global.
I think you're right. And I think, and I'll tell you why. Because of the Ukrainian connection. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely 100% sure what I'm telling you on this. Mm-hmm. What I'm not sure is how much I really have that I haven't uncovered. But yeah, I think you're probably right. We got to get in our final break here. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you heard me in the first segment talk about the coming collapse of the dollar. And why do you think the banks are hoarding gold? Why do you think they're moving to acceptability of Bitcoin? In fact, MasterCard just announced anywhere they do business, Bitcoin is allowed. And you know, people still want to poo-poo Bitcoin. I'm telling you, it's here to stay, at least in the short term. It's going to be the jumping-off point when paper fiat currencies collapse. Do you want to be in that business where you get collapsed upon, where you wake up and, hey, you know that $100,000 you had, Bob? Well, it's now worth $5,000, or you don't get it at all. So this is why I went to Noble Gold. I went from advertiser to customer because I saw what great work they were doing with people in my audience, and I'm glad I did. I'm not totally bulletproof for what's coming. No one can be. No one can be, not even the banks. But you can do a lot to minimize the damage you're going to take. And you owe it to yourself, if you have assets, to have a conversation with Noble Gold like I do. And they're trained not to pressure. You have to finalize the deal. You have to push it. They're trained not to do that. They'll send you free material. They'll answer any questions, and they will not pressure you to buy. And you say, well, that sounds too easy. Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I've been back to them now 4 times. And I would recommend that you do the same thing. If you have assets to protect, call 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. And one more thing, If we go into rebellion as a city, let's say the Democrats start, I think we've entered the era of false flags. I really do. I think the Lincoln Project, pretending to be Youngkin supporters, is just the beginning, small beginning of false flags. And if that causes any kind of martial law to come, which I think is real possible, they'll shut the cities down. They can do it in 30 minutes. They've done the drills in Phoenix. When I first moved to Phoenix, they did that. They've done it in St. Paul. And the time is 20 to 30 minutes to shut down a major city. And they'll cut off your communications, your internet, everything. How are you going to communicate with family members if you're separated at the unknown time this could be coming? How are you going to communicate with people when your cell phone doesn't have range and you're in the mountains and your car breaks down at night? That's why I have a sat phone. And the satellite phone store is absolutely fantastic. People say, well, it's too expensive. Well, I pay 1/4 the cost I do for my cell phone for my sat phone. You don't use it to chit chat. It's for emergencies. But I have it with me, and I have it when I need it. And I'll tell you, in this volatile world, this very, very volatile country now, I wouldn't be without this. And you can find out more by calling them at 855-980-5830. I'll say it again, 855-980-5830. We're again speaking with Susan Bradford, and we got to compare notes. She said some magic words, and Susan, I want to pay you a high compliment. I could interview 100 people who claim to be election integrity experts, and they could not have followed and linked the two things together that we've linked. And I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. They do not have the knowledge to do this. But I want to get back into the global aspect of this. You kind of hit a dead end too, where there are shadowy figures and you can't name who's sitting in that boardroom telling this person gets elected and this person doesn't. Am I right?
I can't, but I can name some of the, like, the organizations and the vehicles through which they operated.
Okay. So you think Hillary Clinton was a pawn and not an organizer?
Yes, I think she is a puppet.
Okay, I think you can make that case, but I'll go to this, though. What she did with Seth Rich, who supported Bernie Sanders, and how she blatantly was able to steal the primary election away from Bernie Sanders.
There's no question that she's ruthless and corrupt and, you know, a horrible a person. I wouldn't, you know, I really can't say many good things about her.
Yeah.
But
I need to hold it here for just a second. Just a second, okay? Because we're going to sign off here, folks. We'll be back tomorrow for part two. Intrigued? You should be. Anyway, the time got away from me, and I so apologize. I don't know what happened here. I'm trying to think how we should handle this. We need a part two. That's a cliffhanger ending I just gave it. Oh, people will be pissed, but they'll come back. I don't know how that happened. Wow. I, like, stepped into a time zone. I'm going to tell you, this interview, Susan, is going to send off shockwaves.